Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Global Health Limited, also known as Medanta, Q4 FY 2023 conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar from Motilal Oswal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening and a very warm welcome to all the participants on Global Health Limited Q4 FY 23 earnings call. Joining with us today from the management side, we have Dr. Naresh Trehan, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Pankaj Sahni, Group CEO and Director, Mr. Sanjiv Kumar, Group CFO, Mr. Ravi Gothwal, Head Investor Relations. Over to you, sir, for the opening remarks.
Good morning to all of you. Okay, sorry, I don't know when it dropped off, but good morning, good evening to all of you. Welcome to the Q4 FY 23 call. Basically, I wanted to give you a little background. Most of you may be already familiar with it, but as you know, we created Medanta as a very specific platform to bring all the super specialists on the same platform and be able to deliver collectively the highest end of care. We started our journey in Gurugram in 2009, early 2010, and now we have grown to 2,700 beds across Lucknow, Patna, Indore and Ranchi. Noida under development should come online in the next 18 months or so. That will take us to the next 3,300 beds, because that's 650 beds in Noida. Our focus has always been on delivering the highest quality across all specialties, and we have been able to achieve that in all our facilities, and our sort of expansion is focused basically on areas which are underserved, and we have a sustainable platform delivering highest quality of care, making sure that the infrastructure, the technology and the medical facilities like the doctors and paramedical and nurses are all of the same quality. With the teamwork that we have been able to achieve, we are very proud of the teams that have worked across all our facilities, that we have been declared the best private hospital by Newsweek International 4 years in a row. Not only that, amongst the first 150 hospitals of the world. This is a good achievement because what we started the journey for has been quite successful. The financial landmarks, 2022-2023, have been a landmark year in the journey of Medanta and the transition of our private company into a public company in November 2022 was successfully happened, and it was subscribed almost 10 times. The Patna facility is now fully functional for a year, and the remarkable part is that has also achieved EBITDA breakeven in the first year of operation. Over 150 specialist doctors have joined us across the units during FY 2023, further strengthening Medanta Healthcare Services capabilities. Medanta added new specialties also in this year, such as lung transplant, the women and child specialists. We have done triple swab liver transplants, heart transplant. All these new accomplishments have happened. Medanta continues on this journey of providing the most complex of procedures like bone marrow transplants, endocrine surgeries, and very complicated cancer surgeries across the full body. Recognized as the best private hospital has given us the boost, and we continue on our journey with renewed vigor and taking care of our doctors and teams to work together in the service of humanity, because we do want to maintain the highest standard of ethics. So for the further details, which I'm sure you are all waiting for, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Pankaj Sahni, Group CEO, who shall walk you through the financials for the year. Thank you, and over to you, Pankaj, please.
Thank you, Dr. Chahan. Good evening and welcome to everyone to our first full year as well as the quarter four financial year 23 earnings call. We've concluded our first full year on a very strong note, and we've reported our highest quarterly revenue in this quarter of 7,318 million, which is a 37.3% year-on-year growth. Our CFO Sanjeev will talk shortly about our quarterly performance, but let me spend a minute before that giving you some of the highlights for the year. As Dr. Chahan mentioned, this has been a landmark year for Medanta. We are proud of what we have accomplished and would like to thank our doctors, nurses, our staff, as well as our shareholders, and of course, finally, our patients for the trust that they have placed and continue to place in us. Some highlights, starting with our financial performance. On the revenue side, our consolidated total income of 27,592 million has shown a strong growth at about 22.5% year-on-year. This growth was driven by a combination of factors. Some of it was higher inpatient volumes, increased bed occupied days, as well as changes in specialty mix towards higher revenue specialties. Our EBITDA as well has grown 38.3% and has come in at 6,771 million. EBITDA margins as well have improved by 234 basis points from 22.2% in financial year 22 to 24.5% in financial year 23. Profit after tax was at 3,261 million, which is a growth of 66.2% year on year. And our PAT margins have improved as well by 292 basis points to 11.8%. During the course of this year, our expansion continues. We've added 293 new beds. That's a growth of about 12.2% year on year. And these 293 beds have come 191 in Lucknow and 102 beds in our Patna hospital. Our average occupied bed days has increased by 14.1%, representing an occupancy of about 59% at the group level, and that is largely because of the increased bed capacity as well. Our PoPs have grown as well to about 59,098 in FY23, and this, as I mentioned earlier, in line with the revenue increase, is driven by contributions from higher complex specialties such as cardiac, GI, cancer, and neuro. Inpatient volumes have increased by 32%, and outpatient counts have increased by 15.4% in FY23 as well. When it comes to the breakdown of our developing hospitals, which is largely Lucknow and Patna, our revenue share has increased from 18% to the group in FY22 to 27% in FY23, amounting to 7,426 million. And the developing hospital EBITDA share has increased from 16% in FY22 to 32% in FY23, amounting to 2,159 million. So we continue to de-risk and diversify our portfolio from a single unit in Gurgaon to multiple units across the country. Medanta Patna, Dr. Chahan mentioned as well, has shown phenomenal growth during the course of the last year. We started our inpatient operations in January 2022, and we have delivered a revenue of 1,707 million in financial year 23. And once again, Medanta Hospital has been able to achieve EBITDA break-even in its first full year of operations. So we're very pleased with the performance in Patna. You'll recall Lucknow also had been able to achieve EBITDA break-even in its first full year of operations. When it comes to our international patients, our revenue has increased by 68% to 1,564 million, and that, of course, is driven by higher realizations as well as increased volumes post-COVID from countries such as Iraq, Nepal, Bangladesh, as well as the CIS countries. Our in-house OPD pharmacy business, which we had started a few years ago, continues to register strong growth. Revenues have increased 58% from 536 million in FY22 to 850 million in FY23. From a balance sheet perspective, a lot of good news. We became a net debt-free company. In fact, we've been able to generate a net cash surplus of 4,692 million at the end of March 2023. Cash proceeds of 5,000 million or 500 crores, which came in from the IPO, out of which 3,750 million utilized towards debt repayment were completed in April of 2023. During the year, we've also incurred capital expenditure of about 2,846 million, out of which 659 million has been incurred towards our ongoing Noida hospital construction project. One very important highlight, Medanta continues to generate very strong operating cash flows, a very robust EBITDA to cash flow conversion of about 95%. So overall, on a balance sheet point of view, our balance sheet remains well capitalized. We're well positioned for the funding of the future expansion as well as the growth that we see coming. A few developments during the year in addition to the financial numbers that I would like to share. We've been very focused on ensuring that we execute the plans and strategies that we've outlined for each of our units, and I'd like to share a couple of updates. The first one is around bed additions. As I mentioned earlier, we've added a total of 293 new beds, which is a growth of about 12.2% in bed capacity. At Lucknow, strong demand resulted in us bringing forward our bed expansion plans a little bit. We added 191 beds, out of which 126 beds were added in the last quarter of financial year 23. Patna as well has seen bed additions. We've added 102 beds, including 29 new critical care beds during the course of the year. Both these facilities will see bed additions in financial year 24 as well. In fact, some of those bed additions and operating room additions are already underway. We've also launched some new specialties and new services over the course of the year. At Gurgaon, we've started our lung transplant program, already completed 6 successful lung transplants. We have, in fact, one of the leading chest specialty departments that comprises leading clinicians in lung transplant, chest surgery, respiratory, and pulmonary medicine, collaborating together to deliver some of the highest quality care in chest care services. We've also launched our mother and child specialty, both in Gurgaon as well as in Lucknow, and we've further enhanced some of our cancer care with advanced treatments in bone marrow transplant, endocrine surgery, etc. in Lucknow. Our Patna facility also continues to add specialties as we speak and continues to expand its operations. New technology added in Gurgaon includes the Da Vinci robot. We've added one of the fastest CT scanners in the world in terms of next generation sequencing and molecular work. We've also added that, so strong focus in on some of the cancer care in Gurgaon. We've also added a new Edge Linac machine, which I think is only the third or fourth in the country in our Lucknow facility, and we will operationalize this by the first quarter of FY24. In terms of our ongoing digital transformation, we continue to enhance our existing clinical applications, which include the e-clinic application, which enables our patients to book online appointments as well as access their medical records from anywhere in the world. Our Doctor EMR app, which allows our doctors to review their patients' records from anywhere as well as receive real-time clinical alerts, engage in real-time manner with their clinical teams. And this year we have developed a third application, which is an intelligent nursing application, which is used to identify critical and sick patients and support intelligent nurse staffing based on predefined parameters. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, as Dr. Prehan mentioned, we've added over 150 full-time super specialist doctors during the year, including some well-known names like Dr. Randeep Guleria, chairman of our respiratory and internal medicine in Gurgaon, Dr. Gagan Gautam and his team of robotic uro-oncology specialists, various doctors, including Dr. Khilnani, Dr. Ittan, Dr. Rasogi, in terms of our pediatrics, obs, gynae, and neonatology specialists in Gurgaon, as well as Dr. Neelam Vinay and her team of experts in mother and child care in Lucknow. We continue to strengthen our large pool of medical, surgical, and radiation oncologists with the addition of senior faculty across Gurgaon, Lucknow, and Patna. And we continue to scale up in newer facilities with the addition of over 50 and doctors in Lucknow and over 35 senior specialists in Patna. Over the past 3 years, that's financial year 20 to financial year 23, Medanta has delivered consistent financial growth. Our total income has grown at a compounded annual growth rate of 21% over this time period, while our EBITDA and profit after tax have grown at a compounded annual growth rate of 43% and 108% respectively. As we look forward, we are confident that we shall continue our deliberate and sustainable growth by focusing on the ramping up of our Patna and Lucknow facilities to their full capacity, by continuing to attract and retain the highest quality of clinical talent across the country, and by concluding the construction and launching our 550-bed facility in Noida and finalizing our already announced plans for our 300-plus-bed hospital project in Indore. With that, I will hand over to Sanjeev to discuss our fourth quarter financial performance.
Thank you, Pankaj, and good evening to you all. I would like to share some of the consolidated financial performance of Medanta for the quarter ending FY23, that is March 31st, 23. Medanta has delivered total income of ₹7,318 million, that is reaching a growth of 37.3% on year-to-year basis. EBITDA was also $1,915 million, that is a growth of almost 108% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins improving from 17.3% to 26.2% in quarter 4 FY23. Our profit after tax was ₹1,011 million, that is a growth of almost 478%. This is a quarter, 126 new beds were added at Lucknow. In terms of our operational performance, our occupied bed days has also increased by 25.6% and occupancy was at 58% on increased bed capacity. Our ARPOB also stood at approximately around 61,000. That has grown by 7.5% year on year, primarily driven by change in specialty mix. During the year, we have also initiated our tariff revision. Inpatient volumes also grew by 32% to almost 33,000 plus, and outpatient volume also grew by 26% to 5.7 lakhs. In terms of our developing hospitals, that is Lucknow and Patna, our total income has increased from 1,102 million to 2,025 million. That's a growth of almost 84%, and EBITDA increasing from 133 million to 625 million in quarter 4 FY23. Now, we are happy to take questions from the participants.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 at this time. First question is on the line of Dinesh from White Oak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good operational performance. First question, sir, is that in April 1st week, there was an article about Gurgaon administration wanting, more beds. So if there is any update on that?
I'm sorry, let me just clarify the question. You are saying that the Gurgaon administration, do you mean the Medanta or do you mean the government administration?
No, so in April 1st week, there was an article which had said that instead of 5%, 20% beds in Gurgaon for, so if there is any, and then I had checked a thing with you and you had said that, are going to, as per our obligation, we are only obligated to provide 5%. And we are going to dispute this 20%. So have you exchanged anything, communication with the administration, and what is an update on this?
Yeah, so I understand the question now. Thank you. Sorry. So in terms of the requirements and any notification or information from the government, there has been no change in the course of the last several months. Like you mentioned on the call and like we have constantly reiterated, we continue to abide by the terms of our lease as well as the terms of the allotment ad that was there, which mentioned that 5% of the bed should be reserved. We do service whatever requests come to us in this nature from the government authorities. We have not seen any significant uptick or any significant change in the volume of patients coming in from the underprivileged category. So no real significant impact on anything thus far.
So in the Gurgaon facility, right now you're providing only 5% of the census beds free of cost.
So the terms of our allotment require us to service up to that much. At present and for the starting of the hospital, we have never received that high of a number. So we continue to provide whatever service in terms of whatever patients come to us, we do service them. But there are certain requirements that the authorities have to refer the right kind of patients, etc., to us. So as and when they come in, we service them up to that number, yes.
Understood. And just to understand, when you report the KPIs like occupied bed days and ARPOB, for example, for Gurgaon facility, the occupied bed days would include whatever bed days you have provided to this section of the population, right?
That is correct. And actually, if I understand correctly, you would be referring to the occupied bed days of the mature facilities. So it is not Gurgaon, it does include Indore and Ranchi as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Understood. No, what I'm asking is whatever it is not shown net. You're showing occupied bed days, ARPOB, everything is gross of the beds that you are obligated to provide for the EWS section, right?
Absolutely correct.
Understood. Okay. Thank you for that. And then on slide 44, which right hand side, there is this exhibit which talks about capacity from 2697 beds to 4000 beds. So can you just like refresh in terms of, you know, each project you have mentioned the beds, but in terms of timeline and in terms of capex spend, can you just give us a, you know, refresher on this slide, please?
Sure. So let me do the following. Let me just very quickly walk you through the bed numbers that you see on this graph, and then I'll hand over to Sanjeev to give us a little bit of an overview on the capex. Let me start with our Gurgaon facility. Actually, in somewhere in the slide presentation, it is also mentioned, we are currently undergoing two major projects within our Gurgaon facility. One is the development of our mother and child floor. We will be adding about 30 beds or so into that area that will include operating rooms, a neonatal ICU, etc. So that should be about 30 beds. We are also in the process of renovating our complete oncology services in the unit. So we would be adding in approximately 50 beds of medical oncology daycare services. That is a renovation, so it's not a new build as such. So that is the first major capex that is happening in our Gurgaon unit. The second aspect is our Lucknow facility. Our Lucknow facility as at March 31 is 601 beds. That includes about 200 beds plus of critical care, as well as about 12 operating rooms. We added in about 7 operating rooms in Lucknow during the course of this year. And as we move forward, Lucknow will move from 601 beds to 950 beds. And our estimation is that approximately 150 to 200 of those beds will come during the course of this financial year in Lucknow. As far as Patna goes, Patna Hospital is 330 beds today, and that will also add in probably somewhere around 70 beds or so, which will take us to maybe slightly over the 400 bed limit during the course of this financial year. But the more important part for Patna is that we will add in almost 10 operating rooms. In fact, since the end of March, we have already activated about 4 operating rooms and 7 more operating rooms will come on board in Patna. So Patna will finally then have, another 6 operating rooms will come on board. So Patna will finally have then the 14 operating rooms that it was planned for. That is the plan for Patna. And Noida, which is built as a 550-bed facility, we anticipate opening somewhere towards the latter part of financial year 25. So that's just the timeline, if that gives you some sense. Let me hand over quickly to Sanjeev for the high-level capex on these projects.
Thanks, Pankaj, and thanks, Hirish. As Pankaj has explained that, you know, in various facilities, some of these beds will really come. And if you look at, we will actually move from almost 2,700 bed capacity to almost 4,000 bed capacity during the next 3 years or so. And what we expected that we will be incurring approximately 1,000 crores to approximately capex for these almost 1,200 to 1,300 beds, and which we expect that that would come over the period of next year, 3 years or so. Yeah, that's what it is.
So how much, Sanjeev? Your voice audio quality is not very good, but if I understood what you're saying is 1,000 crore capex for this between FY24 and 25 for this 1,300 bed. How is it spread out in 24 and 25, the capex?
So I would expect that, you know, probably in case of FY24, which is actually the active current year, since our Noida project is in actually full swing, and probably we actually might see almost you know, more than almost 250 crores, you know, capex getting incurred in case of Noida. So probably this year we will incur approximately between around 450 crores or so. And then we actually balance the 550 crores probably would be spread over the next 2 years, that is 25 and 26, I mean, depending upon when the real batch come.
Okay, and just one last clarification, Noida, as Pankaj mentioned, towards the end of FY25, 550 beds, so it's not in phases, the full 550 will become operational at the end of FY25, and that capacity will be available for commercialization in FY26, right?
So let me clarify. The facility in Noida is a single tower facility, unlike our Gurgaon, Lucknow, and Patna facility. So it will be built in one shot. But we plan to operationalize only about 300 beds on opening day, and then we will scale as and when the requirement comes.
Understood. Thank you so much, Pankaj Sinji.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Tiwari from Allegro Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the stellar numbers. My question is regarding the decision for indoor O&M facility that we are opening. So if the management could please add some color to the current indoor unit, what are the occupancy and air pop levels that we are seeing, and basis on which the management has decided to set up another facility. So some color on the current business of the indoor unit.
Okay, let me give you a little bit of quick context. You know, our indoor facility is actually just a rental building. It is it was an existing hospital that wasn't functioning that we had taken over. So it's a very small infrastructure facility, just about 150 beds there. We have four operating rooms there and about 50 critical care beds. So what we are finding in Indore is that the ability of us to add in services, for example, we do not have much medical oncology services there. There is, of course, no space to add things like a radiation oncology service, etc. So we are fairly constrained with that facility. And therefore, we have actually decided that the appropriate and logical thing for us to do is to actually build out a reasonably big facility there, which will be somewhere in the range of 300 to 350 beds, to be able to cater to some of the deficiencies that we have. Because essentially, for the most part, the services that are running in Indore are really only cardiac and neuro. Now, as we look at you know, how we should build this out, we decided that it would make sense for us to go more towards the asset-light approach in conjunction with a partner. So we've been able to tie up there now for a partnership where our partner will build out the infrastructure and deliver to us a warm shell, which is about 5 lakh square feet, which will should accommodate with for us about 300 to 350 beds. And we will put in the medical equipment and, of course, then run the hospital. So this is our plan. At present, our indoor facility is functioning at a kind of suboptimal level, I would say, because of the fact that we don't have the space to add in some of the other services and facilities. And that's why we have decided to move forward with this approach.
just if I could have a ballpark number on the occupancy or ARPOB levels.
So we don't report out the the financial data in terms of the Indore facility separately. What I can tell you is that if you look at the ARPOB levels that we are able to achieve in Indore today, just with a couple of specialties that are there, it is probably about 40 to 45% lower than our Gurgaon facility that we have. And we see occupancies there more or less on a similar line, fluctuates a little bit depending on the season, because it's more of, other than cardiac neuro, a lot of the care is secondary care. Fluctuates a little bit from season, but otherwise a little bit below what you see in our Gurgaon facility.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. My first question is on the ARPOB. If I remember correctly, at the time of IP roadshow, the sharp run-up that happened in Lucknow and perhaps to a certain extent Patna as well, I may be wrong here, was largely driven by non-scheme patients, mostly cash-paying patients. Has that started to normalize in Lucknow and Patna, both wherein the scheme-based patients and insurance-based patients are kind of coming into the mix? Because the ARPOB continues to look good over the last couple of quarters, you have expanded your ARPOB. So I'm not sure if there is any ARPOB dilution that's happening from Lucknow and Patna.
So if I draw your attention to the slide number 31, where we have detailed out the payer mix for the year and indeed even for the quarter, you will see that we continue and have for several years now continue to maintain a fairly healthy payer mix. Upwards of 85% of our payer mix is in the cash and insurance segment. And that hasn't really changed over the course of the last quarter or any change with the Lucknow and Patna facilities scaling up. In fact, both Lucknow and Patna continue to be towards the end of financial year 23, almost exclusively cash and PPA. So no real change in the payer mix from, say, when we last spoke.
Yeah, so that's the question. I mean, in Lucknow and Patna, if the mix will skew to a certain extent towards scheme-based patients, as today it's entirely cash and TPA, wouldn't that lead to some bit of ARPOB dilution?
You mean going forward with that mix change?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think let's go unit by unit. Let's first start with our Patna facility. As you're probably aware, Patna is a PPP project with the government of Bihar. So 25% of the beds are reserved at state government rates. We do believe that while we have been, working with the government to get those activated, that hasn't yet activated. We do believe that will get activated in the first quarter of this year. So you may see some ARPOB dilution in Patna specifically because of the PPP project scheme-based patients coming into play. As far as Lucknow goes, we have not seen nor have we any immediate plans to change the payer mix there very much. Obviously, as we continue to scale up, we will keep reevaluating this at the appropriate time. But we don't see at present any major plans to change the payer mix in Lucknow.
Got it. I think that's quite helpful. Also, my second question is slightly higher level. In the entire north to east belt, do you see any major bed additions happening by non-incumbents? I mean, I will include Medanta amongst the incumbents now, giving its presence in 3-4 cities now. But do you see any major bed additions by non-incumbents, perhaps any player from south or west that you might be seeing?
You are asking me to do a little bit of crystal ball grazing, so I don't know. What I can tell you, not so much about what the others may be thinking. What I can tell you is that there are many people who are not in the healthcare industry, who continuously approach us to say, will you please partner with us to help us build a hospital or build a hospital. We will build the hospital and you run it. So maybe that is just an indication of the success of Medanta or the brand of Medanta or the industry in general. So I do not know who will decide to come into which country or which territory of the country. But what I can tell you is that there's still a huge need for capacity build out across many, many parts of the country. So the more people that are invested in the success of the healthcare industry, I think the better it is.
Would it be safe to say that at least for next 2 to 3 year horizon, even if someone tries to enter, I mean, it takes a few years to kind of set up an hospital. At least from a 2 to 3 year perspective, the incumbents are kind of sorted on supply demand balance.
Yeah, I think you have to see two, three factors, right? One is obviously you can't produce a hospital out of thin air, especially any hospital of meaningful size and quality. It takes, you know, at least 3 years or so to build if you're starting from scratch. I also don't have too much visibility on, you know, hospitals which are ready-made and are just waiting to be taken over for somebody to run. So you're absolutely right. It takes a certain amount of time to put up this kind of infrastructure, especially in terms of quality infrastructure. But let's not forget, that's in some ways still just the easy part, right? After that, you have to actually hire the doctors and nurses and get the clinical talent to be able to operationalize and run the facility. So we have been fortunate. We have done very well to be able to break even both Lucknow and Patna within 1 year of starting operations, but that is not a normal trend. Normally, hospitals take at least 3 to 4 years to deliver EBITDA break even. So I would say that, yes, some of your conjecture is correct. And the other thing is that I don't see too much construction actually, you know, underway beyond what we have been doing. So I can't pinpoint that there is any specific asset that is likely to come on board in the immediate future. So yes, that is a correct assumption, I would say, from your part. And as far as the supply demand mismatch goes, I mean, you know, the northern part of the country is still hugely underpenetrated. Whether it's UP or Bihar, Haryana, even NCR still has a lot of scope. So a lot more to be done, I think.
Right. That's pretty helpful. One more question I had is on ALOS. If I look at versus pre-COVID levels, I have some data possibly from your DRHP. The ALOS used to be 3.9 days. Somewhere around that in FY19, and currently it's trending around 3.2 days. Can you give some color? What's happening here? What's changed?
Sure. You're absolutely right, with one exception. If you look at our ALOS over the years, and I'll just quickly flag out some of the numbers, you know, in financial year 19, FY19, it was 3.9. We were able to reduce that very actively in financial year 20 to 3.5, and I'll talk about that in a minute. It bounced back up in FY21 to again 3.9, then 3.8 in FY22, and we have been able to bring that back down in FY23 to 3.3. Now, we had actually started some of these initiatives in financial year 20 just before COVID to actively work on bringing the ALOS down. And that benefits patients, that benefits the hospital. So we work with some of our surgical specialties to say, instead of admitting the patient the night before, can you admit the day of surgery? Instead of trying to get the patient to get discharged the following morning, is it possible, if the doctor does evening rounds, to discharge the patient the same day, later in the day itself? So we did work on ALOS reduction, on efficiencies, etc. These are standard operational improvement metrics. And it's good for everybody because we get the patient home, we're able to, you know, possibly even close down some of the wards at night to save some operating costs. And we felt that that was the right thing to do. We have reactivated some of that work in FY23 after COVID has gone away. And so we do see some amount of ALOS reduction on an intentional manner. The other thing that's very important to keep in mind, especially you know, in context of the Medanta group, is that we have a very high percentage of cash and TPA patients. And we have seen that cash and TPA patients are obviously keener to get home sooner as compared to the COVID, the scheme patients who tend to have a little bit of a longer length of stay. So these are some of the factors that could be leading to the lower ALOS that you see. But Active strategy was implemented in FY20. Active strategy has been implemented in FY23. And we will continue to do our best to get our patients home as soon as possible.
Right. So it's a right deduction, right, that while your occupancy might look lower versus some of the peers that report Delhi NCR-centric numbers, but that gets offset by ALOS, right? I mean, the focus is more on the right efficiency in terms of getting the ALOS right, which might be at the expense of what occupancy numbers we are able to see.
That's right. I mean, if you look at the, you know, just the basic mathematics, right, obviously the RPOPs as well as the occupancy levels are a function of the volume of admissions and the volume and the length of stay. And like I said, some of the scheme patients tend to stay a little bit longer because, frankly, they're not too concerned about, you know, who's paying for their stay. We've seen this even in our Gurgaon facility. Scheme patients for the same specialty do tend to have a little bit of a longer length of stay. So you're right. The deduction that you did is correct. You do see differences in occupancy levels, in RPOPs, but the real thing I think that we should be looking at, frankly, is how the volumes have gone in terms of the absolute amount of inpatient additions or admissions or discharges, and more than even RPOP, the average revenue per patient, which gives, I think, a slightly better perspective on what each patient is actually paying.
Got it. And just one final question, just a kind of a bookkeeping type. When I look at your operating beds to capacity beds ratio, it is somewhere around 75-76%. Once all these bed additions laid out in the slide and investor presentation that happens, should we assume the same percentage of operating beds with denominator being the capacity beds?
So, you know, just to give you a quick context, right, it's in line a little bit with the length of stay point that you mentioned earlier. We do, and we have realized this, in fact, after building Gurgaon, we realized it, you know, several years ago, that there is a very strong focus in our systems to actually deliver a huge number of daycare beds because we have a lot of people who come into the system during the course of the day who may not stay at night. So if you look just at our Gurgaon facility, you would have maybe almost 300 or 400 beds on the daycare side, which is, you know, the size of a pretty large hospital itself. So we cycle through these patients, whether it is endoscopy daycare, emergency, chemo daycare, dialysis, etc. And we've seen that we're able to actually deliver high-quality care in this model. So we feel good about this kind of daycare model. We feel that as we build out the other units, we will continue to maintain a fairly high daycare to census bed ratio. But it does differ depending on the city or the area which you're in. So there are some nuances depending on where patients come in from. Some of our patients in our Gurgaon or our Lucknow facility may be traveling from further away, so they may struggle with the ability to stay outside of the hospital. When you look at our Patna facility, it's located in the heart of town, so there's plenty of options for people to stay. So these things do make a difference. But in general, yes, we will try to maintain a fairly high daycare to overall bed ratio.
Understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kadam from Canara Robeco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So I'll start with
Amit, can you please use the handset? Your voice is not clear.
I am on handset.
Okay, then can you speak up?
I'll try. Yeah. One second. So like I have a couple of questions. Starting with this, one of the observation on the slide where they have mentioned how the OPD and IPD have grown. In this, I guess it's slide 39, so your IPD volume growth was lower sequentially, quarter on quarter, which my understanding about the subject is that usually quarter three is little lean quarter, and then quarter four is a kind of a normalized quarter. Still, our IPD volumes were sequentially lower. Any particular reason to it? That's point number one. And so another extension to is that for the full year, what we have seen that OPD volume growth has been 15%, whereas IPD volumes has been for the full year 32%. Any reason that why such a stark difference between how OPD and IPD volume growth has been? Yeah, this is the first question I would say, and there are a couple more.
So let me start with your second question first in terms of OPD and IPD. And you are referencing on slide 39 metrics that reflect the whole group. An important point to note as we look at the year that has gone by is that we still have hospitals that are growing, and in fact growing in a very big way. So when you look at our Patna facility, that really came on board towards the end of financial year 22. In January we started. So really only one full year of operations. Now in new facilities, their OPIP trends tend to differ a little bit as the specialties come in. So we started Patna, just to give you a sense, largely with cardiac and neuro. Now we've added in many other specialties. Some of them have a faster growth towards OPD. Some of them have a faster growth towards IPD. So you will see some amount of variability in the newer facilities until they stabilize to some extent. Also, don't forget, we are adding in doctors fairly aggressively. So when you look at some of the doctor additions in both Lucknow as well as in Patna, and that goes to your first question as well, you do see sometimes when a doctor comes on board, there's an immediate uptick because there's a pent-up demand of that doctor and they bring in their practice to the facility, whether it is a Lucknow or whether it is a Patna. So up until the time that you find some amount of stability in the bed addition and the doctor addition, we do find variability both in the OPD and IPD basis. Frankly, since we don't look at this on a quarter-to-quarter basis but look much more at it on a overall basis, we don't stress too much on how things move on a quarter-on-quarter basis. But we do keep in mind that we see sequential growth as the specialties are maturing and as the unit is maturing. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's how we think about it.
Okay. No, it does answer my question. Maybe let the things stabilize and then maybe this will be a correct matrix to track thereafter. I got
that's
it.
Right.
So second question is that our international patient contribution for this quarter was 5%, vis-a-vis like quarter three saw 7% contribution. And on top line, we are broadly same at somewhere around 700 odd crore. Just wanted to know because the peers have actually saw some reasonable improvement in both sequential and YOY. Any particular reason? This is I'm trying to refer from slide number 40.
Yeah. No, so, you know, on an absolute basis, we have also seen the same improvement, both in terms of volumes as well as in terms of realization. The absolute amount of international patients has grown. In fact, I think we have about a 68% growth year on year, and we are also seeing a breakdown of that by quarter. You do see an absolute growth in terms of quarter three versus quarter four of financial year 23. I think the difference when you're looking at this graph as a percentage of overall revenue is that this now includes the revenue additions in Lucknow and Patna. And as you'll understand, Lucknow and Patna is almost negligible international patients. So as the base of Lucknow and Patna adds in, international as a percentage may look slightly different, but on an absolute basis, we have actually seen quarter four show a growth over quarter three as well as a growth from financial year 22 to 23.
Okay, it answers. My final question is that the scheme patient, so that there was some price revisions for most of the for certain consumables to some kind of service room rates, etc. So what is that particular impact, because we also cater to lots of CGSS or those scheme patients, any impact what we witness in this particular quarter, how do we see it going forward?
Yeah, so just to clarify, we have actually under 10% of our total revenue is coming from scheme or CGHS patients. I think in the fourth quarter it is about 8%, and if I look at the full year also, more or less the same in terms of the CGHS, ECHS, but in general, somewhere around 10% or so of our patients are seen. So it's not that high, especially compared to many of the others. The tariff increase that were announced by the government have been adopted in different ways. This includes the tariff increase on the CGHS patients as well as the Ayushman and other schemes. So, of course, some of the public sector undertakings, some of the corporate contracts which we have, the partnerships which we have, those tariffs got affected immediately when the government made the announcement. In certain other cases, the tariff increases are dependent on how the states adopt those tariff increases. So we see this playing out fully, I think, over the course of financial year 24 more than anything that would be impacted in financial year 23. In addition to that, we did actually take some tariff increases towards the last quarter of financial year 24. I think Sanjeev mentioned it in his opening comments. But obviously, we will see the full impact of that play out only this year.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. That's it. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Cinderella Thomas Carvalho from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations on great set of numbers. Pankaj, if we are looking at our Gurgaon facility or the standalone numbers per se, how should we see the growth from here onwards as well as at the margin level? How should we be seeing it? Because somewhere we see that these margin levels are coming to around 20% odd if they remove the other income. So how should we see and what could be the levers of margin expansion, including the standalone business of Indore and Ranchi with it? And if you can help us understand the growth path for Gurgaon as a focus.
Yeah, so let me give you a couple of thoughts and then I'll ask Sanjeev also to clarify whether I think there's some confusion amongst the community on the true definition of other income and what's included and what's not included. But let me just first give you a couple of thoughts in terms of conceptually. See, when it comes to the growth opportunities in terms of volumes and in terms of the levers that are there for Gurgaon or the NCR market as a whole, first of all, if you do note, we've added almost about 80 doctors at the senior level across our mature facilities, and many of those doctors coming in towards the second half of this year. So there has been a very definitive understanding that given the demand that was there that we experienced during the course of COVID, given the responsiveness of various clinicians who want to work for us. So we have added in a significant clinical talent pool in our Gurgaon facility, and you will see that continuing as we move forward in financial year 24. So the first aspect is that there's new services, new clinicians, mother and child coming on board as an example, lung transplant, chest surgery coming on board is another example. So we are adding in the clinical firepower in Gurgaon, and we do expect that to start taking effect in the coming months and years. The second aspect is that we are doing some amount of realignment. As I mentioned, we're adding in about 30 beds of mother and child, 50 plus beds of premium cancer services. So we are looking at how we reorient some of the care that we delivered, including looking at how we can think about more day care, better utilization, reduced ALOS, etc. In our Gurgaon facility. So those will be all positive levers that should add to the top line and volume growth in the facility. As far as margin goes, there are of course three, four levers there. The first one, as I mentioned in the question before, was on tariffs. We hadn't taken very significant tariff increases for several years. Some of that was because of COVID, but in general, we are reasonably conservative on the pricing that we have. We have triggered that exercise in Gurgaon more significantly in January, February, March of this year, concluding in actually towards the end of March, middle of April. So we will see some impact of tariff, which should be positive towards the margin side in financial year 23. We also continue to look at how we can increase our operating efficiencies, whether it is our material cost efficiencies or the employee costs. Some amount of additional costs this year vis-a-vis last year's because of COVID, of course, have come in on sales and marketing, obviously with COVID we didn't do much sales and marketing, and we were also trying to conserve the cash and the costs there, so that some of that cost has come back. But also very important to note that when you look at our mature facilities or our GHL facility, this includes all the corporate costs. So we don't actually report out the corporate costs separately, whether that is employee costs or other shared services costs. So that's fully loaded in on Gurgaon. And to that extent, the margin is a little suppressed in Gurgaon vis-a-vis that apportionment which you would see across all the units in a normal case. So these are some of the factors that may be impacting what you're looking at in terms of the numbers as you try to dissect them. And then also on the other income, you know, it's not all interest income which should be taken out. I think Sanjeev will give you a very quick overview as to what is really other income and what is actually really just normal hospital income. Sanjeev.
Yeah, hi. So I think, you know, as far as other income is concerned, we have actually seen that other than the interest income, which is also, frankly speaking, always on account of the excess cash that actually we have been caring for a good amount of time. But it also includes some of the income like rental income, you know, which is, you know, some of the provisions which actually get written back. And those are also have been considered appropriately as part of the expenses earlier. Some of the things like sponsorship income, like this year, if you actually look at, you will find that, you know, sponsorship expenses are high. So probably, you know, that gets captured in your miscellaneous income. So the expenses have been captured, but the income is not captured there. Some of the revenue shares from, you know, food court, et cetera, et cetera. I think somewhere we actually feel that these are all the expenses, I mean, these are all the incomes which actually wouldn't have been here had our hospital wouldn't have been really operation. So I think so that's the reason why when we actually talk about we do include the other income as part of the overall EBITDA margin, and I think that has been that we have been doing consistently. I think when we actually look at consistent basis, really yes, the margins excluding interest income probably would actually go you know some kind of a lower number, or it would be more or less into the same region. And I think some of the reasons which that have been explained by Chief Pankaj as well, largely in terms of the higher expense on account of sales and marketing expenses, including the facilitation charges, which are on account of the international operations. That's one. The second one is you know, also some of the expenses like conference expenses, which I just said has gone up, let's say by almost, that also impacts us almost 2.2% increase in your traveling costs, etc. Some of those expenses have also increased. But yeah, those remain within, so the margin remain within that, you know, within that region of approximately 22% or so. That's what our take is.
Thank you for an elaborate answer. Just to clarify, Pankaj, you said 80 doctors we have, senior doctors we have added at Gurgaon, right?
Right.
Along with all the bed addition that you mentioned. So all this cost is already in this number that we are seeing today?
Yes. So, you know, as you may be aware, the 80 doctors, by the way, just to clarify, include some of the senior additions at Indore and Ranchi. We've done that as well. As you're probably aware, you know, most of our doctors are all on a full-time fixed kind of salary model. So, yes, their cost will be fully captured in the B&M.
Okay.
For the period that they have been here.
Of course.
The entire full cost would really be reflected certainly in FY24.
Yeah, thanks for that. And if I look at the overall new hospital margins, they are looking upwards of 30%. And if I try and understand, I mean, our Lucknow was already doing healthy margins, but can we conclude that even Patna is doing very healthy margins, at least in Q4 aspect? Or how should we look at it, if you can help us understand the Patna level EBITDA margin?
So, you know, Cinderella, you may be familiar with this from our last conversations as well. We definitely do feel that Patna has delivered fairly healthy margins in not only in quarter four of this last year, but also for the full year. We've been able to, deliver strong break-even in Patna. Obviously, the margins in Patna are not as strong as they are in Lucknow or even in Gurgaon, because it's still new and still upcoming. But yes, we feel fairly confident about our financial performance there, and we feel that that will only continue to improve. Important, however, to point out that Patna is still in a very strong kind of growth phase. So unlike Lucknow, which I think maybe had a slightly shorter time to a certain scale, Patna continues to expand every quarter. So it's a slightly, more quarter-on-quarter scale-up in Patna. And some of that is, of course, post-COVID. We didn't have, the same scenario which we had in Lucknow. So I think that it may be a little premature to look at Patna margins from any kind of a stable state. With Lucknow at 600 beds now firing quite well for, almost 2 years, we do feel that is a little bit more stable. Patna, I think you just have to still give us, another 6 to 9 months or maybe the whole of FY24 before we feel really confident about, what's the stable situation there. We do intend to add in more doctors, so you will see more cost. We do also hope that the doctors that have been added in will continue to kick in. And we are also adding in, very high-end extensive equipment. So we may have mentioned this earlier, we've ordered the radiation oncology LINAC, and we will be starting our radiation oncology services hopefully in this quarter itself, but early this year. So all these things will come in. So Patna, you'll still see some bouncing around of margins. I think give us 6 months to 12 months to see some stability there.
Thanks, Pankaj. We understand definitely that it's just 1 year of operations and we are already at the breaking even on the ball. So, of course, we do understand your plan.
Don't get carried away with a strong performance in Patna and assume that is normal. We also feel it is, better than normal, I can say.
Yeah, that we totally agree with you on. Some of the bookkeeping questions are largely on the side of if you would like to share at least Gurgaon, ARPOB and occupancy, would you be able to share that for the full year?
So, Cinderella, I think it's okay because we do have, I can see on the queue, a couple more folks who ask questions and they're already running a little late. I'll request, if we can set up some specific calls for any very detailed bookkeeping questions that you may have. If there's overall kind of questions which may benefit everybody, you can quickly ask them there. Otherwise, if there's specific points, we'll set up some time. Sanjeev and team will be able to walk you through whatever you need to kind of help you build out, I guess, the models that you're working on.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Akash Dawada from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have just one question. What kind of locations would you look for inorganic opportunity apart from Lucknow, Patna, Noida? And your comment on valuation on such inorganic front?
So I think that as we may have mentioned in the past, our approach to looking at which locations to go into is driven by 4 or 5 very fundamental value-based thoughts on the organization. The first, of course, is that, is there a need for providing this kind of high-end, high-quality services? As you're aware, we operate in a very high-end tertiary care market, so we are not really looking in at just going in the secondary care or very kind of lower level complexity of care. So the market should be able to sustain high-end tertiary quaternary care. And that means 2-3 things. On one hand, of course, there has to be a certain amount of demand as well as ability to afford those quality of services and that complexity of services. But there also has to be the appropriate clinical talent and employee pool that you can bring in on board to be able to offer and deliver those services. It's not really just about putting up a building. That's the first part. The second part is that we do feel that these are markets where there has to be some element of really being underserved in terms of at least the quality. And by underserved, I don't mean only the places with lower per capita income. As I mentioned many times, there are parts of Delhi and Bombay that you would also consider as underserved. At the same time, there may be tier 3 cities which may be completely fully served. So we look at, you know, is there an underserved need or an unmet need, and specifically whether Medanta can fulfill that need. And then, of course, lastly, we have to make sure that this can all be done at the kind of quality standards and values that we operate in. So that's how we look at locations. Obviously, given our historical experience, we do consider, I would say, the central and northern part of the country to be more closer to what we have historically operated in, and so therefore that would, our bias would of course be towards looking into those areas first, although never say never. And that includes, by the way, greenfield as well as inorganic opportunities. As far as the approach towards the inorganic opportunities, again, two, three fundamental factors, right? One, as I mentioned, obviously it has to make sense for us in terms of location and the kind of quality of asset that we're getting into. But also we don't want to buy an asset just for the sake of, you know, buying out EBITDA. It has to be able to be fitting into our ecosystem of delivering that kind of care. And very importantly, it has to be in sync with the value system and the ethics which we practice. So we have walked away from many a deal where we felt that it was not in line with the values, ethics, and governance standards that we would like to practice. And, you know, lastly, I can say that for the most part, we are more comfortable where we are the sole provider of care and our partners, whoever they may be, are more silent partners. Or where we are taking on an asset, it is something which is completely clean and kosher in terms of the due diligence, etc., that we look at. Of course, after all this comes that, you know, can you get the right kind of value for the asset that you're buying? And frankly, you know, I think that in many a deal, you find one or more of these things are challenging.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you very much. Just wanted to thank everybody for their ongoing support. It has been our first full annual report after our listing, and we thank you for your interest as well as your support, and look forward to the same going forward. If there are additional questions or clarifications that you may require, we'd be happy to provide them on a secondary follow-up discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motilal Oswal, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.